Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sales Success with Lixie, where we are passionate about helping you transform the sales in your business so you can stress less and earn more. On today's episode, I'm joined by Emma McAlinney, who helps health, fitness and wellness coaches stop faffing and start making serious money without hustle, cringe sales tactics or burnout. And we are going to be talking all about the differences in selling business to consumer over business to business. So let's get into it. Emma, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Hi, so my name's Emma McAlinney. I am the 46-year-old business owner of Eat, Move, Win Strategy. And basically what I do is I help primarily health, fitness and wellness coaches grow and scale their business, but in a really non-hustly, bro sales tactics kind of a way. I help them stop faffing and I help them create businesses that they love, because it's really quite tough in the health coaching space just now. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, I think.
Amazing. Thank you. Yes, we are, because the focus of today's episode is around the business to consumer business as opposed to the business to business space. So we're going to get your insights on why that's different and how you can approach it differently, because it is different when you're selling B2C than B2B.
Yes, it is so different, and it can be really hard when you're selling B2C and you're surrounded by business coaches and other business owners that are selling B2B, and they're telling you that, you know, they've just made this simple tweak and the thousands have started rolling in, and you're like, that's not worked for me. So it can be really demoralizing. So hopefully we'll put some of the myths to bed and give away some really handy hints for folk to do.
Yeah, absolutely, because you're quite right. Like, when you see a business to business, it's really easy to say things. So it's gonna get really confusing. B2B business, it can, quite often the messaging is like, get to 5k months or 10k months, but when you're speaking to a consumer, they don't care about 5 or 10k months. That's not the outcome that they're looking for from working with you. So getting them to buy into the benefit of working with you, I think, is a lot more challenging.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's, I mean, when you're selling, especially in the health space, but what I'm saying today is specific to anybody in the B2C landscape, it tends to be more emotion-based purchases rather than logical based. So, you know, if you're B2B, yeah, you can easily drive interest by going, you know, you can make 4 figures by tomorrow or whatever while you see. But when it comes to that emotional bit, it's a lot harder to get people on that journey. It's not as obvious. It's not as obvious as a time saving efficiency or a cost efficiency. And then when you're talking to those people, it's about how do you demonstrate, A, that you know how they feel, and that it's not just it's a no-brainer decision to make. And most health coaching programs are a kind of no-brainer decision. But when it's the emotional side of the person you're trying to talk to, it's so much harder, because it goes so much deeper than just that surface level emotion. It's like most people, if they are in a place where it is emotion-based, they've probably tried something already at some point and it's maybe not worked. So it's even harder. There's even more hurdles to get across. So just stacking it all up.
Yeah, because not only have you got to speak to them emotionally, you've also got to be able to get over their hesitance if they've tried something else and it doesn't work.
Yeah, or hasn't worked. Absolutely. And I think that piece, getting somebody along that journey, takes so much longer. In my health coaching business, I've had clients come and join me 2 years after first speaking to me. And it's because they've got to go on that journey of trusting you and knowing and believing that you can get results for them. Because most people that I'm working with, certainly, they're in their 40s or in their 50s, so they have tried something. So it is a much harder journey from point one to the end point.
Yeah, definitely. It takes a long time to build that trust over time, and especially when most of what they're seeing is you on social media. It's not like you're in front of them doing a gym class or something. So they don't get that kind of one-on-one in-person experience. So that it takes a lot longer to build the trust with them over a long period of time. And are there ways, I think, that you can position your... I think there are, like, in the messaging that you're doing and everything that you're putting out there, I guess you can tailor it more to speak to their emotions over what you would put out if you were a business owner.
Yeah, certainly. It's about, you know, when it's just, so the same rules do apply. It's just coming at them from a slightly different place. So when you're talking to your audience, you're talking to their problems. You're not talking to them about a logical sense of, oh, well, come and work with me because we do a weekly check-in, right? That's not, that doesn't really matter. They don't really care. And most people in this space, they get this bit wrong. They talk to the general problem. So I see it quite a lot in menopause, and like talking about hot flushes and putting on weight, right? Mm-hmm. They're quite surface level because we all know that they are side effects. We all know that they're things that happen, but it's, we need to talk more to the underlying issues, like the rage and jealousy that you have towards younger people, or the absolute fury that you have towards your husband because he can't seem to pick up his socks. Like, you know, the actual things that are causing people resentment and pain almost in their life. And like, we know, like, marketing psychology tells us that people will do anything to move away from the pain that they're in. Mm-hmm. And that is even more apparent in the B2C space. So there's been quite a lot. We don't want to make people feel crap about themselves. That's like, that's not particularly a nice way of running a business. However, there is proof in that, you know, if somebody's here and they want to be here, they've got to cross that bridge. And you've got to demonstrate, as somebody in that space, if you're a coach, you've got to demonstrate that you are the bridge. You are the bridge. You can, all these problems that most people, like a lot of people in the health, like people who are consumers in the B2C space, they're thinking things that they might not ever say out loud to anybody. And it's about tapping into that. Because when people feel seen and they go, oh, it's not just me.
Yeah.
It really, that's part of that process, because so many people, I'm just thinking of a couple of my clients just now. So fertility coaching, for example, I've got a girl that coaches women through fertility and the lifestyle changes that they can make. There's so much fear and mistrust in that, because there's so many like woo-woo, take this mad bark oil and you'll have a baby tomorrow, like type thing. So there's so much fear and mistrust in that one. But being able to talk to those people on a deeper level, instead of just, oh, imagine what it would feel like to have a baby. Like, a lot of these women have never had a baby, so they can imagine, but they don't actually know. But going then deeper into the stuff that's really concerning them, like, you know what, you're probably worried that you might not be a good mum, or you're going to go through all this hassle and not actually like it. That's normal. Like, they're all things that even mums that aren't going through fertility treatment worry about, isn't it? It's like that whole, what if I can't do this? What if I leave my baby in the bus or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it's, you need to tap into the things that everybody thinks, but that nobody wants to talk about, because it then kind of almost gives them permission to feel it. Like, it's okay that you feel that way, because I'm telling you that everybody feels that way.
Uh-huh. And I mean, a lot of the things, like, people don't actively, unless if somebody doesn't have any problems or issues or challenges, they're not going to go and buy any form of coaching, right? Yeah. You're there to solve a problem that somebody has. And like, things are really tough just now, especially in the health coaching space. Like, people, there's a whole load of changes that have happened. There's a whole load of reasons, like economic downturn, all that kind of stuff. So general health and fitness isn't selling. You know, get healthier, get stronger, get fitter. That's, you know, you can get all of those things on ChatGPT now if you really wanted, and you can go create me a meal plan for the next month. You can do that. But we know that people will always invest in their health when they have a problem that needs solving. Mm-hmm. And it's about identifying what that problem is and creating a solution to that problem and then talking about that. And when you talk about those two things, these are the problems that you may have. This is the solution.
Mm-hmm. And like in the fitness space, like, the summer body is always a big one, isn't it? Because quite often people want to, I think it's when people take notice of how they feel in themselves when the weather is nice. Mm-hmm. In the winter, we all eat chocolate for months and we don't really care. But when it's getting nicer weather and you want to wear different clothes, I think that's when you start to take notice. And I think that's why that becomes such a big piece of the messaging in the health space. Is that the sort of thing that you mean?
Well, not particularly, because I think now, even just saying, oh, it's springtime and you've taken off your jumper and you feel like you've got an extra layer, that's not even cutting it anymore. Like, if people, like, you'll maybe get your standard low ticket products will sell for that, but that's not really the root of the problem for most people. It's the problem is actually in that instance is like, why are you spending all of winter munching on chocolate? Like, that's kind of the
delicious
and going through this rigmarole every single year, because at some point in your 40s probably that it just doesn't come off as easily anymore, and you're just like, ah shit, I'm stuck. So getting into that, what is the problem and here's the solution, is what's going to work, rather than just going, oh, summer body time, let's do it, little black dress challenge time, let's do it.
You kind of need to tap into, why does that matter? Why do you care about what your body looks like?
And how is that impacting you? Like, I was talking to a lady maybe last summer, and she'd been at a wedding, and she was really sad and angry at herself. And it's because of her, she had been wearing this dress to go to a wedding, and her arms were out, and she really hated her arms, and she was really annoyed and upset at herself because she hadn't done anything about it. But she'd been telling herself she's going to do something about these arms for the last 5 years. And I was like, that's going underlying. Like, why have you been telling yourself for 5 years you're going to do something and not doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, that's not just the, oh, you don't like your arms, let's do something. It's you've been talking about this for 5 years. What's really going on? Yeah.
And it's uncovering why she hadn't done anything for the last 5 years and why would now be any different. Like, you've come to speak to a health coach. Why is now the first time in 5 years the time that you're actually going to do something different?
Yeah. And why does it matter? Like, we all, like, unless a consumer is emotionally connected to the goal and the outcome, their true reason why, it's always going to be really hard to deliver a solution. And that's like a lot of the surface level stuff that is getting missed on that first lot of engagement.
Yeah, because I think that's easier to do when you're talking directly to someone. So like, we're on a call like now, I think trying to uncover somebody's motivations, one, talking to them directly is a lot easier to do. But when you're doing your marketing, nailing that in the first lot of marketing that they see when they encounter your brand, I think that's the challenge, isn't it? Getting it right in that first instance.
Yeah, and that's why, like, that's why messaging and branding is so important. Now, like, we have to be attractive from the start, and we have to show our audience that we get them, that like, you know, you're safe here, we understand X, Y, and Z, and that has to come across in like all your messaging, all your content, in one way or another. And the same things still apply as what they do in the B2B world. Like, you know, what is your fundamental pillar of communication? What is it all about? What are you all about? And then we've got all our little other pillars that we can talk about. That still all applies, but we have to get specific with it. Like, we have to speak to that person, we have to speak about that problem, and we have to talk about that solution and make it easy for that person to go along that trust journey.
I like that. And I think, again, it's like that, if you're speaking to everyone, you're speaking to no one. So what your ideal client, the ideal person that you want to be working with, what is their specific problem and how is it that you solve that problem?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that doesn't mean you can't help people with other problems. It just means you talk about that one problem, because that's going to get you the most traction with that client.
Yeah, absolutely. And the part, like, doing that is all part of that process of, you know, building trust, that if you're talking about that problem, or even just like it's a selection of problems, but they tend to be all intrinsically linked, it's building up they know how to fix it, they know why that, oh, they know that that connects to that, it's all beginning to make sense. So when they do get to a point they're like, oh right, shit, I do want to change, you're front and center because you've been talking about the stuff that's impacting them.
Yeah, for sure. And in your experience, how the messaging that people are putting out, how direct does it need to be when you're talking? Because I think in the business space we are quite direct, like, if you're not doing this, you're not going to get this. And but in the business space, you're not, it's not quite as emotional, because it's not about you as a person, it's about your business. So it's not quite as, it doesn't feel quite like an attack. But I'm thinking in the B2C space, if you are really direct, I feel like the consumers could take that quite personally. So what's the balance there?
Oh, it's a really hard one. A lot of it comes down to the individual, like who the business is and their personality type. So I am very direct, but that has taken me a long time to be comfortable with my directness, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to put people off. And I am going to put people off because we can't be everything to everybody. But then again, I've got clients who are running wellness businesses, holistic businesses. They have a much more gentle approach, but the same rules apply. They might use calmer, more and more gentle language than I might, but that's the audience that they have. And it, so it really depends on like the business, on what is, what the coaching business is, who the audience is, and who the business owner is. Because if I'm quite extroverted, and I've got clients that are completely introverted, and they would never, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that, but I did it and it's done now, so it doesn't really matter. When I look at their content and we're reviewing their content, I was like, I feel that this is not specific enough. And they're like, oh, but if I say it like this, it's going to sound aggressive or it's going to sound demanding. I'm like, well, actually, sometimes, even if you are more in the gentle space and the health space and the wellness space, although you are promoting what it is you're promoting, it tends to be more gentle and more holistic and more flowy, you still have to make sure that your audience know what the problem is that you're solving and what problem they have.
Yeah, you can be specific without being aggressive.
In your face. Yeah. You don't have to be like big, bold, you know, and shouty and, you know, to get your message across, because that's just different audiences. It's just how different people respond.
Yeah, I like that. So again, it just comes back to doing your ideal client work. Like, what kind of language are they using? What tone do they like? How do they react to certain phrases, that kind of thing? Like, doing that research is really important so that you can make sure that your message is resonating with them in the right way.
Yeah, I did a couple of years ago, and I was doing ideal client work for my menopause business. And I spent a lot of time in different Facebook groups where my ideal client was hanging out. And I noticed that a lot of from a visual branding point of view, a lot of it was all very pastel pink and italics and gentle and more like, let me come and give you a cuddle and da, 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 da. So I changed my messaging and I changed my branding visuals, and I lost so many sales. I lost loads of inquiries, and I was like, and it wasn't until I had a call with a business coach, and she was like, I'm talking to you on Zoom and I'm looking at all your website and I'm looking at all your messages. Like, you're two different people. Like, you are like assertive, you're in your face, you're energetic, you're bold, blah, 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 and you've got all this like gentle, wishy washy messaging. What's going on? And it was, and I was like, So you have to be aligned with who you are. Like, your brand and visuals must align with your brand and appear, like you, your personal brand and the messaging that you have, because otherwise your audience will notice. They'll go, that's not congruent, that makes no sense, so I'm uncomfortable with it and I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah, as soon as they see you doing like a face to camera anything, they'll know that you're not
like person. And I see this quite a lot with when I see newer coaches coming into the health coaching space. And, you know, it's quite nerve-wracking, it's quite scary. Like, people in the health space especially, they don't necessarily always go into it for the money. They go into it because they have a gift, they want to help people, they're really good at what they do. And then they realise that they've got to get good at the selling side and the business side in order for their business to actually succeed. And it's then they're like very confident in their coaching, they're very confident in what they do. But then when it comes to the actual business side, they're not visible, they're not showing up for themselves, they're not showing and demonstrating through their content how good they are. And that's where like a lot of people, I don't want to say struggle, I don't particularly love the word struggle, but a lot of people get frustrated with the, I am really good at what I do, but why is nobody buying from me? And that's where I close the gap, is like, well, actually, we have to see this coaching part of you. We need to apply all those parts of you into your business side now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth remembering that like not everyone is born an entrepreneur. Like, it doesn't come naturally to everybody. You're good at the thing, I talk to my clients about this quite a lot, like you're good at the thing that you're an expert in, like you're great at that, but just because you're not great at creating funnels or you're not great at sales or whatever the rest of the business stuff is, like that doesn't mean you're not great. It's just they are individual skills that you need to learn as a business owner.
Absolutely. And one of the things, especially in the health coaching space, that has been really awful for the last however many years, nearly, I would say, the last 7 years, is it's been, if you want to get better at this, if you want to make more money, there's only one way in order for you to do that. And you must like be on sales calls all day. You must be really like prodding people's pain point. You must be cold messaging people. You must be doing all of these things. And that's not nice. Like, like I tend to work with women coaches who are in turn coaching women coaches. And there's this huge disconnect between what a lot of female health coaches are getting taught from a business point of view. It's very masculine energy. It's very like, go, 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 hard, hard, hard. Mm-hmm. And like I did that in my business 5 years ago. And I nearly just gave it all up because I was so burnt out. I was crying every day, having to do all these calls. I was coaching back to back. I was exhausted. Business was not fun.
No,
it was horrible. And I spent so much money on various business coaches getting taught all these things, that some of which work when you adapt them to you as an individual and your audience. But most of it was just like getting punched in the face repeatedly.
It's not what you want from a business.
No, well, it's not what you want from like somebody that you're paying multiple thousands of pounds to, is it? Like you come off a call and you're like, none of that feels aligned to me at all. Not one of it. And that's been a really, for a lot of female B2C coaches, that's actually been a huge hurdle to get over, is that, well, actually, if this is all we're getting taught, maybe we're just destined to not get dream clients. Maybe we're just destined to get whoever approaches us. Maybe we're just destined to be, you know, not have any authority or impact in the health space.
Which I'm gathering from what you're saying, isn't, that doesn't have to be the case. Like that's not right at all.
No, it's not at all. Like one of the big things I have learned in my coaching business was the minute that I stopped believing that the only way to have a business was doing like was chasing calls. When I stopped doing that and looked at my business model and went, I see, right, this works better. And it's not that the way that I run my coaching business is the best way. There is no best way. It all depends on the individual. It all depends on how they want their business to look, how they want their family life to look, how they want their income goals to look. And once we know that you work backwards from there.
Yeah. And I always say like every strategy works if it's the right strategy for you. So like you said, you've got lots of coaches telling you to do lots of different things and all of them work, but only for the right kind of business. So the strategy that works for your business might not work for mine because we might work in different ways. Our ideal clients are different. Like, it's not going to be the same, but that doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It's just that strategy is not the right one for you.
Yeah. And it's so difficult, especially if you've not been in the coaching space very long. It's so easy to get attracted to the, well, you can make 10k months in the next 3 months if you do this, and you can do it, but you're equally going to hate your life and you're equally going to not be able to tuck your child in at bedtime because you're too busy trying to find somebody to get on a call with, or you're DMing 100 people and trying for Facebook not to block you. And it's not about that. Like it shouldn't feel like a persuasion. It shouldn't feel like I need to get you in as a client. It's not about that at all. It's about that relationship and being able, like, if you approach your audience from a place of service, like, can I add value? Can I make you feel better today? Can you smile because of something that I've said today? Then happy days.
That's a win, absolutely. I did a training about this on Thursday, which was called Creating Conversations That Convert, because my whole philosophy to sales in business is just talking to people. Mm-hmm. If you go and start conversations with like 100 new people about anything, it doesn't need to be business related, just go and talk to them about anything, the likelihood is a percentage of those will end up becoming clients because they'll like who you are and what you're talking about. They'll see that you're the expert in the space that you're in. And all you had to do was ask them about their weekend or get their opinion on the TV show you were watching. And it doesn't have to feel like salesy and awkward and pushy. You just need to go and talk to people.
Yeah. It's all relationship building. Mm. It's all part of that process. Like if people... chances are, if they're not going to ever buy from you, you're going to know that, but you can still help them.
Like, and they might know an ideal client. They might have a brother or a sister or a cousin or a friend who is perfect for the thing, they need the thing that you do. And you wouldn't know that if you didn't talk to them.
Absolutely. It's so important. And knowing that, you know, if you think back to like when I was doing those calls, like an hour call, I was doing five of them a day. And, you know, out of every 10 calls, you'd maybe get three clients out the back of it. And eventually you would get other clients off the back of them months down the line or even years down the line. But it shouldn't feel that hard.
No.
Like, it shouldn't feel that hard.
Definitely not. If it does feel that hard, it's time to look at your business model and how you're running things and reassess what you want out of the business, how you want it to look, and what you can adapt to fit the life that you want to build.
And some people do love that business model. Some people really, really enjoy it. From a personal point of view, as I got older, my ability to have those deep conversations, as many of those in a day, I just can't, you know. I used to cry after calls with people that I knew I could help them, and they're like, I can't afford it, I can't do it.
No.
And I'm just like, oh my God, but I can really help you, like, please let me help you. And it's, you know, those types of that. And I think that's where it can be really hard in the B2C space, because you tend to get more emotionally invested in the people that you're working with, because they're joining you for emotional reasons. You've put a lot of energy and your love into the business that you've created. And then, you know, joining all the dots, you do become emotionally invested in your clients.
Yeah, for sure. And that, just on that point then, how would you advise your clients to... Would you advise them not to get as emotionally invested, or how would you help them manage that?
It's really hard. But I remember a business coach telling me years ago if you want to make it in this business, you're going to have to lower your highs and bring up your lows. And I tried to work really, really hard on moderating my emotions. And again, it wasn't true to who I am. You know, I am very much, makes me sound a bit bipolar, but like, I'm not, I'm just, I get really excited really easily. Yeah. And equally, I can get really like, oh, that's a shame. Oh my God, I'm really worried about that, as easily. So personally, I think when you're working primarily with women, which all my health coaches are all working in the female space, and they all have, you know, I've got a fertility coach, I've got a lifestyle coach, I've got a wellness practitioner. So yeah, I think it's really hard to not be emotionally invested and not to have those highs and lows. But when you get to the end of the day, you need to have the ability to put the laptop down and put the phone away and have boundaries about, because it's so easy, like getting messages at 9 o'clock and having to reply to them, people sending you messages on a Sunday. You know, it's, you have to apply your own boundaries, and that is something that most health coaches don't start doing until further down the line.
Okay, yeah. So they kind of, in that respect, they need to adopt the mindset of a business to business owner, where 5 o'clock hits, laptop's done, no more work today, and then take time for yourself, because we all need that to recharge.
Yeah.
Love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been lovely chatting to you.
No bother. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. My three key takeaways from today would be that if you are in the business to consumer space, make sure that you have done your ideal client work and that you really understand what their problems are and why they would be looking for your help or your service or whatever it is that you offer. And how can you tap into their emotions and how they're feeling? So really make sure that you've gotten clear on that work, on those feelings in your ideal client work. My second takeaway would be to make sure that your messaging is strong enough to encourage these consumers to come and work with you. So like we said, that doesn't mean it needs to be aggressive and shouty, but make sure that the language that you're using and the words that you're using are strong enough and emotive enough that it encourages your ideal clients to make that decision now rather than waiting for an inordinate amount of time. And my third takeaway would be to, this isn't specific to business consumer, but it is something we mentioned, which is to make sure that whatever you're doing in your business feels right to you. If you're trying to use strategies or systems that just aren't you, then you're not going to be successful because you're not going to be putting as much passion and energy into the things that you're doing because you're not enjoying them and they don't feel right. So always make sure that the things that you're doing in your business are the right things for you and your business. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you next time.